I'm going to read from Galatians now, which is our passage for this morning. If you want to have a look in the church Bible, I'm going to be reading from Galatians 5, but it's also going to be up on the screen as well, 13 to 26. Galatians 5, 13 to 26. So this is what Paul writes. It's called Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, says Paul. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So a good question for us today is, are we in step with the Spirit? It's quite challenging, isn't it, when you begin to think about what it means to have godly character. Because Paul's setting out to the church in Galatia a vision of a radically different community that looks really different in its values, the way it behaves, the way it cares in its community. And it was really challenging and very different, a very different vision to what was going on in the culture around them as a community as well. But Roman culture, as Paul describes it here, is not that different really, is it, when we look at what happens in 21st culture. Some of the things that Paul was describing, we can see on the news as we watch. Self-gratification, indulgence, doing what you want when you want to. Our culture's not that different, really, is it, from what was happening in Paul's time? Yet, as believers, we're called to live, and we're called to think very differently. And we're called to think about those godly characters that were up on the screen earlier and that some of you have started to talk about. Sometimes they might seem so obvious to us that we don't actually really value their worth or prioritise them. And prioritise them in our own lives, but in our community life as well. It's so much more than just being nice. These are characteristics that radically change the way we do church, when we gather together, in our relationships with one another, and also out in our front lines, as we're talking about, when we're out with our friends, our neighbours, our family, our work colleagues. And Paul talks about this a lot. He talks about this importance of godly character. It was something in Greek culture, character, that was really important that I think we can still learn from today. And he talks about it in Philippians as well. And there's a lovely verse there that I was thinking of when I was preparing, when Paul talks about how the church should shine like stars in a warped and crooked generation as they hold firmly onto the word of life. Isn't that a lovely phrase, that we are called to shine like stars out and about in the culture around us? And there's something in there, isn't there, about being consistent people. So Paul's not just talking about doing this when you're together as Christian family. For us, we would do that, think about that as Sunday maybe, or in our prayer meetings or our small groups. We're called to do this consistently, to be consistent people that have integrity, where this is integral, this way of living, this way of being, of speaking, of thinking, is integral to the people that we are. And there should be no difference the way we behave here in church, the way that we behave when we're cheering on our football team, or when we're out shopping, or when we're dealing with a difficulty at work. So there's something in here about being consistent and having integrity. And that's a real challenge, isn't it? I don't know if you're starting to think of, well, that's fine, but you've got no idea what my week's going to be like as I go into school. What about Richard, who lives with his wife, who's got mental health issues? How do you live like this when you have those type of life challenges? What about Kat as she goes into her working environment, an environment that rewards selfish ambition and that even occasionally encourages you to be a bit dishonest if it makes some money? How do you live out this godly character in that environment? For Maddie, in a neighbourhood where there's loads of gossip and character assassination, how does she live this out at the school gate as she talks with her friends? What do you do, like George, when you're at the golf club and there's a huge pressure to conform? You've got to have the right equipment, the right contacts, if you're going to be successful. How do you live out godly character? And I could go on, and each one of us has a context in our own life where it's hard out in your front lines to live this out. How do we live as godly people in the places that we go into? So Galatians, those verses in Galatians really help us because they give us some really clear things that can help us as we think about this. So first of all, Paul tells us that there's something in here that is liberating and freeing, and I find that really helpful as we start to think about this. He uses that lovely word right at the beginning, freedom. So this is our choice. As people before God, we can choose how we're going to live our lives, what we're going to open our lives up to. We can choose. This isn't forced on us. There's a sense of freedom in this, that we are attracted to live like this because it's like Jesus. It's something that we choose. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is we have a great example, and Hilary's talked about this already this morning. We know what this looks like because we have Jesus to show us. And the challenge in Galatians is that we are called to submit ourselves, to follow him, to look to him. I love this idea of us being like an apprentice. When you think what it's like an apprentice, it isn't some abstract thing that you talk about maybe in a lecture theatre. You actually follow the person that you're learning from day by day. And what they do, the skill of what they're teaching you, it slowly changes you. And you begin to become like the master that you're following. And that's this whole idea of apprenticeship that comes through the New Testament. Because sometimes this isn't an easy process, is it? Paul uses some words that are quite challenging in Galatians. He talks about the example of Jesus who was crucified and who was prepared to submit to the cross. So there's something in here about being prepared to submit our old selves, put it to death, to join in with this journey that Jesus is calling us onto, to be his apprentices. But one of the key messages that comes through from this Galatians passage is that we aren't doing this on our own. And I think that's a good example from David this morning, when we were thinking about David facing this mighty giant. He didn't do it on his own. He did it with God with him. And Galatians here tells us that we're not on our own. We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that reassuring to help us do this? We're not doing this on our own, in our own strength. And again, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking about the pictures that we've had as a church over many years of being grafted in to bear fruit. And that's the whole point of this passage in Galatians. Paul's saying, we don't just produce fruit on our own. We don't just stand there and become godly. It doesn't just work like that. We can't even do it in our own strength and by our own will. We need help to do this. And if we're grafted in, if we're attached in to God, then automatically we will start to bear fruit. That's really reassuring, isn't it? That is something that God is doing in our lives and through us by the Holy Spirit. So there's something key in here, that our choice is to make ourselves open to the Holy Spirit to change us, to become more like Jesus. And that's the nub of it, really, if we want to be people who have godly character. The other thing I was really that really struck me when Nina was sharing earlier was she shared something that I was going to share this morning. And that's really reassuring, isn't it, when you hear someone speak? Because the other challenging thing about this is that there is a real danger that we can be quite high-minded about this, that we can go into our frontline places with our families, our work colleagues, our neighbours, thinking that they're places that we need to change. And that is not what this is about at all. Because our front lines are places where God deeply loves the people there. But they're also places that we can learn from ourselves, that God uses to change us and refine us. And Nina was talking about that earlier. So there's something in this about going into our places with a level of humility, that God is going to change us through those experiences of talking to others and sharing faith, that through them we will also grow and learn, or in Nina's words, we too will be blessed as we seek to ask God to use us to bless others. And I think in there's something about examining ourselves, being open to grow and to be changed. And I was going to share you with you a story myself. As I started to think about this, it reminded me of an experience I had when I was working in the NHS. Many of you know that I was involved in rehabilitation. I was working in a small hospital, community hospital, down in Gosport on the south coast. And one day I was asked to go in and do an assessment with a patient. It was just one of those normal busy days, lots to do, just a standard everyday thing. And I went in and I started the assessment using my professional patter and moving through, trying to work out what the problem was, what I might be able to help with. But then halfway through this, the patient spoke to me and brought me up short. And it was quite a profound moment for me in my professional experience. Sometimes these things happen and you suddenly stop and it makes you think, what on earth am I doing? And he challenged me. He questioned me about my manner and the way that I was speaking to him and the words that I was using. He told me not to be condescending and to speak to him as an adult. And at that moment, I suddenly realised what it was like for him to hear what I was saying. It was like blinkers had come off my eyes at that point. I realised that I'd stopped seeing him as a unique person. I stopped listening and really attending to him. And in all my busyness and familiarity with what I was doing, I was just going through the actions, investing in a process, but not in the person. And it was a very profound moment in my professional career when I realised what I had become. And it was a conversation that radically changed me and the way that I behaved, my character when I was working. And I think it's just a really good example of a frontline place that I was seeking to serve in that actually radically challenged me and my fruitfulness. I needed to apologise to the patient, which I did, and I stopped and I listened to him. And later I had to apologise to God as well, that I'd gone down that route and just not realised. And it made me revisit again how Jesus valued the people that I was speaking to, how he loved them and how I needed to treat them. And that was because I experienced God's love myself, Jesus' love for me, that out of that experience, that needs to influence the way I also treated my patients. So God used that opportunity, that frontline place, to grow me and to produce fruit in me. around patience and of self-control. That frontline place had become for me a place of spiritual growth, and God is so patient, isn't he? And I was so grateful to him for bringing me up short that day, because it influenced and changed me radically. So I pray that you will have opportunities like this when God speaks to you directly about things that you need to change in your life, because the experience is just so worthwhile. It's so important for us. So in summary, as I bring this together, as followers of Jesus, we're given the freedom to allow God's Spirit to work in our lives. This isn't pushed on us. It's not enforced on us. It's our choice to open ourselves up to the Spirit, to allow him to change us. We have to submit to that process of inner transformation. And then as that happens, the natural result of that is that we will begin to develop characters that are godly, that are in line with what Jesus is like. And it will start to change the way we behave and the way we interact with others. So in a strange way, this encouragement to be fruitful in our front lives, it also is a growth journey, a spiritual growth journey for us. It changes us as people. And it's really exciting that God calls us into the places that he does, that he wants to change the places that we go into through us, and he wants to change us through those experiences as well, to be more like Jesus. And that's exciting. And each one of us is called into very different places as we go into our week. How are we going to be people that reflect the character of Jesus? That's my question to you today. Is this something you're up for and you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life? Are you ready to be changed and transformed as part of that process?